You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Hosted by Stacy Waite and Scott Winter.
I admit it. I am not the woman that you think I am. In fact, I am everything less than she, and he bore witness to me as I let go of that dream. For though I come from that tribe of subtle bone in a fleshy home, sometimes I do not recognize my own. For these women build homes beneath broken skies. They bed and break bread with demons under the sun. They craft poems out of thin air. They bear the brunt of this weight, and in this state, though they bake, they must wait to see if they can eat the cake. Still, these women narrate tales untold. Break open a calabash of lullabies and watch yesterday into tomorrow unfold. So you see why I cannot be of this clan. I am impatient and can never understand this magic they weave. These women who give birth to us, never taking leave. So no, I am not the woman that you think I should be.
He's Scott Winter.
And she's Stacy Waite. You just heard from Botswana poet T.J. Demma reading her poem These Women. And we'll hear the rest of that stirring piece later.
In this episode, we're going to explore the fruitfulness of tension for writers. The tension that emerges from the poet's desire to use language to express experience and ideas, and the tension that comes from breaking silence.
Poet Carol Pagel will talk about tension and inspiration later in the show, but let's get back to T.J. Demma, who's a member of the international poetry and music ensemble Sonic Slam Chorus. She read at the 31st Cambridge Seminar on Contemporary Literature, and as a former chairperson of the Writers Association of Botswana, she co-edited the association's 30th anniversary edition journal and has previously produced a CD recording of 12 Botswana poets.
Air Schooner correspondent Haley Sofala talked to Demma about the kind of space she's in when she's constructing poems.
When I'm writing, maybe anxiety is my friend. Discomfort is my friend. If I'm happy, if I'm enjoying something, I almost find writing to be a distraction. You know, I would rather just be in the moment. And so I would kind of, perhaps if there was never a situation that made me uncomfortable, or this tension, if we understood tension in that sense to mean something that kind of took me out of my comfort zone, I might never get any writing done.
I don't know if this is exactly what Demma's saying, but a lot of writers that I know kind of have that perverse sense of excitement when they're in a tense situation and they have to write their way out of it.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think both writers today have that relationship to tension. And we're going to hear a poem in a second from Carol Pagel, and let me tell you a little bit about her. Carol Pagel's poems and essays have appeared in Devil's Lake, Jacket 2, and Thermos, among other journals. She is the co-founder and editor of Rescue Press and a poetry editor at Jubilat. She teaches at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, and she's the author of the book Experiments I Should Like Tried at My Own Death. And here's Pagel reading us a poem from that collection called Gravedigger.
Because I am the gravedigger, I can no longer be the mare. Because I chose the plains, I won't head for the ocean. Here we go again around the square. My two gray steeds send weight the wrong direction, and the whole world narrows as a funnel against another funnel split. Townspin, barbershop, bank, school, with no reversal, just barbershop, bank, school. Because I am not the mayor, I live in the boneyard. Nights when we pace back forth before the black angel, all our souls hum go. They sound bored. Leaving here, that's how we wait, imprisoned, but exactly when do waking listen?
T.J. Demma talked about that feeling of discomfort being a kind of muse. And Pagel talked to Air Schooner correspondent Jeff Alessandrelli about the work involved in making the poems in that first book from which she just read. But in her second manuscript, something a little more surprising happened.
there will be moments of inspiration, but they are small ones, like a sentence or a piece of music. But so that's the exception, is it's all always been work and reading and research and form, and it feels like, you know, I sit down to craft something, to make something, as any artist would, you know, as anyone does who gets in the habit of practicing. So again, I don't have like set hours or anything like that, but I try to work, and that's the way it's always been. But then like 2 summers ago, when I wrote the poems that came after this that are in a manuscript called Twice Told, that I wrote that whole thing in 2 months, and I don't remember writing it. Like, I read it now and I'm like, oh, this is good. So I finally, for the first time in my life, had this experience of kind of being taken by inspiration and like in the sort of like heat of the moment, like something took over.
I've heard artists and athletes talk about being in a zone where they don't really remember doing things. And for me, it's more like I don't remember driving home. You know? That's about it.
For you, it's more dangerous. It's funny, you know, I've never really heard a writer say, you know, oh, I write when I'm feeling really joyous, or I write, you know, it's always like these places of sadness, I guess, sometimes where poetry emerges from. And TJ Demma actually talked to us a little bit about the space she's in when she writes.
As poets, I often think that poets are kind of the rogues from human nature. You know, you, rather than choosing some job that's going to give you lots of money and security, you know, you go for this kind of this, you head down this maverick, you know, route, and you choose this thing, or you allow this thing, this poetry, to, you know, to choose you. And then, you know, a couple of kilometers down that very hard road, you again start labeling yourself, the very things that you were moving, you know, away from, ways that people define success and so on and so forth. You were running away from labels like that, whether you meant to, you meant to or not. And then suddenly you find yourself kind of taking on even more labels than you might have had, you know, before. And so for me, this is a kind of freedom, you know, on the page and on the stage for me. And I'm very careful about people kind of building boxes around me or for me. I don't really write very happy poetry or like love poetry, you know, and it's not because I'm trying to spread sadness into the world. This is kind of what I find myself drawn to, you know, when I'm reading other people's work or when I'm trying to create something. But about coming from a space that, you know, is not a pensive space, is a happy space. And of course, I come from Botswana in southern Africa, and it's, you know, it's all quite civilized and peaceful. This in a personal sense, adds a lot to my work, because it allows me to make the choice to be a writer. I'm using choice very strangely here, and I'm about to kind of contradict myself and say that oftentimes I feel that I have to write, that if I don't write, I will go crazy, you know, that I think I've said before that I will implode, or, you know, something will break or fall apart, and writing is kind of my way of keeping everything together.
Stacey, if you don't write, do you go crazy? Do you fall apart? Do you break?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think there is a certain way in which people who write a lot or read a lot, they write and read a lot to get out of certain spaces that they don't want to be in, or trying to move from one place to another, you know? And Carol Pagel also had a lot to say about the sort of transformative power of writing and reading.
I had been writing poetry all throughout high school, and I don't really know why or where that started. I think probably the same reasons that most high school students start writing poetry, maybe out of an excess of emotion or journaling or reading, you know, Plath and Cummings and stuff. And I think maybe I had just read enough by the time I got to college to know that I wanted to keep reading and finding out more about it.
I think sometimes people think writers are being cheesy when they talk about that transformative power of writing or poetry, but I'm really happy that both the writers we talked to today just sort of owned up to really believing that.
Yeah, if you need proof of that transformative power, you only need to listen to the second half of T.J. Demme's poem, These Women. So let's go to that now.
Everything she is leaves a bleeding scar. She lives to embrace the sheets as tightly as I do these beats. And I have warned you, I am slave to the page, for only it saves us from this rage. Even if they only ever build us ladies a pauper stage. But these women, yes, these women make brick and take life's kick. Build metaphors out of nothingness, craft rhyme schemes, add smoke screens, and call this humble nest our home. I am that young root, back, not yet broke, words easily spoke still. I am their only hope. Yet I am nothing, for I have heard these women, seen these women speak in naked tongue. I equate their thirst with a communal fate. Wait, I equate their thirst with your fate. And though no one listens, no one ever listens when these women sing, but yes, these women sing, they leave the rest of us hung, they leave the rest of us hung, they leave the rest of us hungry, but insist it's never too late. And while I lay awake between borrowed sheets, it came to me. You must know the women of whom I speak. They bed and break bread with demons under the sun. They build homes beneath broken skies. And sometimes it rains. In fact, it always rains. But these women wake and they build again.
Thanks again to Air Schooner correspondents Haley Sofala and Jeff Alessandrelli, who interviewed our poets today.
And thanks to local Lincoln musicians Matt Mason, John Augustine, and the band Kill County for our bumper music today.
Join us in 2 weeks for another episode of Air Schooner, and please tell your friends about us.
Yeah, there's a lot to tell them about, too, so you should tell your enemies, too, because in January we're going to be adding a reading series that'll make Air Schooner a weekly show.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Headed home for the holidays? Make sure to check out the newest installment of Prairie Schooner's International Fusion series on our website. The theme is home, and it showcases home-themed poetry from the Balkan region, selected by Macedonian poet Nikola Matzirov. Join us at our winter launch event, January the 28th to the 29th, celebrating our Native American-themed winter 2012 issue, guest edited by Sherman Alexie. The event will take place on the University of Nebraska campus in Lincoln and will feature a reading by Alexie. Air Schooner is available on iTunes. Sign up now to subscribe. You'll be the first of your hip friends to get the latest episode, and you can download all past episodes all the way back to the premiere show, featuring Nulani Krohor's Irish poetry.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner and produced with research support from James Redd, Ted Wheeler, and Marianne Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson and Franny Sprouls. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Air Schooner is produced by Scott Winter and the brainchild of executive producer Kwame Dawes.